Hey everyone, what's up? It's your girl Adrian Goodson, aka Goody, back with a WNBA state of mind and my guy Don Dada for a quick run back of this week's top performances. And I mean Don Dada, you had Satu Sabali's 32 points. Okay, she led Dallas over Atlanta to put them up 1-0. Not to mention, Ryan Howard drops 36 bombs and makes playoff history. She had finished up with eight trades. And then you got New York beats Washington. However, they showed everyone how to defend Stewie. Kind of locked her up a little bit. I'm going to go back and check out the video again and see exactly who was guarding her most of the time. Out of adversity, you know, most of the time comes a lot of things. I think that was one good thing, one good observation. And then the Sun, you know, they cruise by Minnesota. I just want anybody to start taking charges on Thomas. Just anybody. And watch the game change up, man. Just anybody, please, for the love of God. The Aces are on a record-breaking season. Asia, of course, is my player of the year because no one has dethroned her. She's still the regular season champ. Okay? And that's what the awards are for. The regular season. You know, like nobody like knocked her off the throne. They're number one. They have a record-breaking season. She does record-breaking things. She's also a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. My only advice to my girls over there is they cannot play down because of the lack of competition. And there's a lot of moments where I see that. And, you know, I know that, you know, on this side, I'm not going to say that, you know, they're going to cruise through, but it's not going to be really difficult. I see us, you know, just coming out of this thing in four games, to be quite honest with you. You know, and then we're gonna have to meet up with a team that's been grinding and playing hard. So we have to stay in that play hard mode. And if we could beat somebody and score 150 points as opposed to 120 points, then let's do it. Let's bury people and send a message. On the other side of things, you know, for people whose seasons that are over, we'll talk about Seattle. Jewel Lloyd is regular season scoring champ, finishing up with over 900 points, beating out Breonna Stewart, you know, changing up the narrative. So let's talk about it, Don.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Jewel Lloyd, I mean, the Black Mamba. She's called the female Black Mamba for a reason. You know, just like Kobe didn't have a lot around her, but getting her team where they need to be based off of pure will, her will. Stewie, you got to understand, she got a little bit more around her. She's got a little bit more help with Laney and co. So, you know, she don't get the ball as much. I mean, it's simple math. What do you know? A Black Mamba. She is what she is. Like, she came in the league scored in college. She's going to score in the league. And that's not, you know, it's the first of many. Honestly, the first of many scoring titles. You know, I predict before her career is over, she'll get at least three more. You know, kind of throwing it back to, you know, your early statement of, you know, Ryan Howard. When we talk about scorers, I mean, you got a hybrid guard that is one of the most dynamic scorers in the WNBA, period. She was so good at the University of Kentucky, she could have came out her junior year and been a top five pick. I mean, she's uncanny with her scoring, the way she moves without the basketball. She is super dynamic in everything that she does. I mean, she has a pure balance with her handle as well as a great offensive game. She punishes smaller guards. She scores in tight spaces. Her control with the basketball is ridiculous. The Atlanta Dream, they have one of the future stars of this league and the rest of the world will know her name next season. You know, it takes a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking about her on an individual, since we're talking about the Atlanta Dream, I mean, you know, they took one yesterday. You know, Sabali had 32 points. She's another one of those, one of my faves. And, you know, I'm always talking about my faves. I'm going to talk about the least talked about on this show. And you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind. Just chiming in, talking to my guy Don Dot over here. We are chopping it up about this week's top performances, and Sabali was one of them. 32 points, lead Dallas over Atlanta to put them up 1-0. Okay, and I'm going to tell you who the X factor, you know, is going to be for their team. I mean, they just, you know, you got people that are just stepping up all over the place, you know, from the guard position to the post position. And we're talking about Tierra McGowan, you know, and I'll say to Agumba Wally needs to develop more of a relationship with her on the basketball court and work with her and get a 1-2 punch. Okay, because they have Sabali. All right, now you got Tierra McGowan coming in, giving you double-double. She was the X factor. She was a problem, and she's in bloom right now. You know, I'd like to see her in sync with the rest of the players more. I think that Dallas is a problem. I told you about that. I told you that I thought that, you know, the coaching staff over there is doing a hell of a job, okay? A hell of a job with that team. And so, you know, you want to make any comments about that? You know, your girl hit eight trays, but...
Oh, you did. You did. You did say, you know, the Dallas Wings are who they thought, who you thought they were. You know, and I mean, Sabali, first-time All-Star this year, she's going to continue to be a star in this league. She is one of those future stars that will carry this league. But, you know, I just want to kind of throw you a small curveball. You know, mm-hmm. Everyone's favorite WNBA team, the LA Sparks, you know, from the time that Derek Fisher was there to the time that, you know, Magic Johnson had a very small minority ownership piece within the Sparks, that organization. Are they teetering forward or are we going back? I'm hearing a lot of rumblings going on from players. It's almost like there's a split down the middle of that franchise.
Well, the franchise has been split for, you know, several years now. And until they get a grip on what's going on up top, there's always going to be problems down on the bottom because it filters. And so I really don't know. I haven't indulged in it. I can't speak educationally about what's going on. I'm only, you know, checking out and paying attention to what is active right now, who are, you know, the Aces in Dallas and Atlanta, you know, and New York and Washington. And, you know, we're going to talk about New York and Washington because I know you're a fan favorite when it comes to the, you know, to the New York Liberty, you know. My favorite player, is not playing for Washington, which hurts them quite a bit. And so, you know, I just think that for them, they were kind of in a groove. And like, you know, if you get Deladon going, you got to keep her going. And they went away from her. They went away from some things and it just got real murky for them. It got really, yeah, really murky for them when they started to, I don't even know, just like it was all of a sudden they just started to fall completely apart.
They did on the offensive end, but you got to give them kudos on the defensive end. Mike Trudeau and his staff, you know, it just demonstrates the way that the league is technically evolving in the way that they were able to slow Stewie down.
Yes.
She only had 12 points, and they gave her 5 to 8 different defensive coverage looks during that game. If you go back and you look at the film, you say, oh, man, you know, here comes a triple. Oh, here comes a double. Okay, here comes somebody from the weak side, you know, with a hidden front. He threw everything but the kitchen sink to slow her down. That just shows you how great of a ball player that she is. But as you and I talked about earlier, you know, that also demonstrates how to show the rest of the league how to slow her down. So that may be a problem for the Liberty in the future.
Well, it's a bad problem to have right now, you know, in the middle of the playoffs. And so, you know, I'm sure that, you know, playing at home will be able to fix a lot of things. But, you know, I could say as a player who always had, you know, different defenders on me and me having to mix my game up a whole lot at times, especially when I played against teams like that had my MO, like, you know, Houston and, you know, the Sparks, because we played them so much, or Minnesota, you know, when you play in these teams, a lot of times they get to, they know your tendencies. And, being a player for Utah Stars and, playing for Candy, a coach like Candy Harvey, she was really about watching video. And I love to watch video anyway, as a player, sit down and like scout who I was going to defend and know every single thing that they did. If she went left, she was going all the way to the basket. If she went right, she was pulling up. If she, if she crossed over, stepped back, she probably was going to pull up, or she might hit you with a hezzy. It's like all kinds of things. And now is the time, you know, that where you have to like be married to that huddle, or to whatever system it is that you guys are using over there. Synergy, you know, breaking down, watching film on your assignments, because now is where you really, really earn your money. Okay, you playing games and it's all about the team. But when you get to the playoffs, it really becomes about individual efforts and efficiencies and matchups.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Playoffs are all about matchups, whether you're in the NBA or the WNBA or the NFL or the MLB. When it comes playoff time, it's about matchups.
And that's what I appreciate about data analytics, is because you can go the whole season with one lineup, and the data analytics is showing you that on these games, when we played against Minnesota, this player did the best against this player. So when you see the matchups changing, for people out there that are listening, and you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind, we're chopping up about, you know, this week's top performances. We're also giving a quick run back of some of the things that happened over the past week, you know, as far as the games are concerned. Ryan Howard having, you know, just fantastic, dropping 36 bombs. Sabali had 32. We're talking about Stewie and, you know, how Washington, even though they lost the game, they really did defend Stewie. And so we're talking about data analytics and how important matchups are. And so, you know, As you go further along down the season, statistics really do matter. And you really have to study those and study the tape and really get after it, because it really becomes more of an individual thing, you know, in the end. And who's gonna perform, who's gonna defend, and who's gonna leave it out there for you on the floor? Who's consistency? Who's giving you consistent buckets? Who's consistently diving on the floor? Who's consistently going to the line? Who's consistently shooting good from the three? You know, so this way you know as a coach what plays you're gonna run based on the performance of each one of these players. Because those data analytics are going to tell you which player is the best player coming off of the screen during the ATOs.
Absolutely, Goody. Absolutely. It's all about the homework. And a brief shout out to my guy, Deion Sanders, and everything he's doing for the culture of Colorado. When you speak of data analytics, I'm just going to throw some football in there, because I thought it was appropriate. When you think about an historic game that they had in a rivalry last night, Deion and his team, they kept their composure, and he used the analytics and the data that they had on Colorado State and didn't make it a personal thing. They just stayed within the realm of the data analytics that were provided to them for the game, running certain plays, running certain packages in order for them to get that win. As well, Goody, I also want to back up a little bit and, you know, talk about that Sun Link series. And, you know, I kind of feel bad for Minnesota, because they thought they were really hitting their stride and, you know, that they were going to make some noise in the playoffs, you know, Reeve and crew. But, you know, towards the end of the season, you know, They dropped some really winnable games. And then you think about their last four games on the road, them going 0-4. You know, it just doesn't look like they're going to survive today, and, you know, the Sun are going to advance, and, you know, I know Cheryl and crew are, you know, for the summertime, in the off season, you know, they're going to regroup, and, you know, that was another team you said would be very dangerous this year, and they did prove during the middle of the season to be a threat. And I think, you know, with the loaded draft class that's coming for next season, they have something up their sleeves to pull out a gem of a hidden pick.
Yeah. You know, and it's just basically, you know, knowing Coach Reeves, she's going to take everything that she can get from this season and come back and, you know, really turn it around. Now, I'm not counting them out because they still have, technically still have two more games. And so, you know, anything could happen. However, I agree with you on what you said. They are definitely going to be a team that's going to come back a lot stronger. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you get knocked down and you get back up. And it's like, what do you do when you get knocked down? Get back up. I mean, it should be the proper response. And I know that that's going to be something that they're going to do. It's definitely going to be something that they're going to do. And as far as the Aces are concerned, too, like they're today, this game, you know, like I said, the player of the year. And then you got Plum and, you know, just the whole cast, the young, you go down the line. And then what I really, really like about how it is that we're developing is that, you know, the bench players now, and I hate to call them bench players, and I can't even stand calling them role players, because I just think that, you know, you get caught up in a box and, you know, these terminology that's really degrading to a player if you say it to them in their face. And so, you know, you have the supporting cast is what I would rather say, is really stepping up and coming along and helping, and not just helping on the defensive end, but also contributing and getting buckets, you know. And, you know, so now we don't just have an X factor. We have a couple of people that can come in and really, really make a difference off of the bench. And so as you get closer and closer to conference finals, you get closer to, you know, playoffs and, you know, championships and semifinals, you know, all of that stuff also comes into play. Now, all of a sudden, you know, you got to really start looking down your bench and going, oh, my goodness. You know, who's ready to play? Who's going to come in and make an immediate impact? Then you go back to the data analytics, and then there you have it. You can look and see that the players that have been performing well. And so all of that stuff counts. And so that's the reason why, you know, I really, you know, for the Aces, I don't want them to play down because of lack of competition, because that could happen. Then now you go, you know, you go home and, you know that you got whoever you play next is going to be tough, but, you know, you're going to get past them too, you know. And it's just a mentality that I want them to continue to have, which is kill season. And don't take anybody for granted. Don't feel sorry for somebody if you feel like you're beating them by too many points. Go ahead and do what you got to do, handle your business, and send a message that it's going to be real hard to get through us. We might have had some issues during the season, but we fixed that. But I just don't want them to fall into this complacency, which is the same thing that could happen with the Sun.
Absolutely, absolutely. I've noticed towards the end of the year, they have this new moniker of, you know, all in. You're seeing it everywhere down the street to, you know, the strip on Las Vegas. You're seeing it on billboards. You know, they're wearing t-shirts, you know, to the game in the tunnel. They all in. So, you know, they definitely have to take, you know, your advice, Goody, from being a former player and coach, and, you know, understanding that dynamic, and really be all in order to make this thing happen. For those that, you know, previously won the championship, they were all in at one point. This new group, they know they have to be all in.
Yeah, absolutely. And these games are just, just what you said, all in. These games are major, all right? Because Dallas versus Atlanta, you got to be all in, right? New York versus Washington, you got to be all in. Because both of you guys have shown that you can beat each other on your home court, you know? Or you can lose on your home court. So you can't let up. They got to be all in. So if Washington comes in on some ish the next game and they have that same flow that they had the last time because they're not intimidating, you know, New York is the type of, I love playing in a garden. I love playing in a garden. I love that ambiance where the crowd is screaming, but you know that they really don't hate you because they want your autograph after the game. You know, so like I never felt a sense of intimidation when I went into New York. Plus, I was home anyway, you know, so it might have been different for another player might have a different story. I don't know. But real talk, they could go in there and they could make some noise. So New York can't let their guard down. So that's another game that's going to have to be all in.
So, yeah, absolutely. And you know the Chicago Sky, you know, they're not going to shoot 5-for-23 again. That's not happening this next game against the Aces. So,
no, they're certainly not. They're certainly not. And they're going to go down fighting. So it is the way that it is. You know, it's great stuff. It's good stuff. You know, kudos to all of the people, you know, getting ready to win different awards and stuff like that. You know, Defensive Player of the Year, Player of the Year, you know.
Speaking of awards, six man. You got to congratulate Stephanie White. You know, she was named just about an hour ago the WNBA Coach of the Year for her work with the Connecticut Sun and what she's done with that group.
Yeah, they could have went in another direction. Absolutely. They could have went in another direction. They could have tanked and, you know, kudos to her for her work. It could have went to anybody.
And only the fourth former WNBA player to win that award.
Yeah. So
that's big.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great award when people, you know, recognize you, but it's even greater award knowing that, you know, those kids, those girls, those women, because some of them are still very young. So that's why I'm saying kids. Young women put in a lot of hard work so that she could shine, you know. And then there's players that put in a whole lot of hard work down there in Atlanta who could have easily have gotten Coach of the Year. And a lot of good, great players that went out that are playing hard in Dallas where the Coach of the Year could have award could have landed as well.
It was a tough race.
It was a really, really tough race. And so all of those people that standing there left on the podium, got to say shout out to them definitely for having a fantastic season. And with all of the growth that you see in the WNBA and all of the growth that they claim across Google, And who's you know what their searches are, and you know for the last 3 to 4 years we've watched them tell us how successful the league is. Now I want to see how successful the league is through the compensation, you know, the compensation that the players get, you know, with increased salaries, okay, more sponsorships. I want to see more black sponsorships. If 85% of the league is black, then I want to see more black commercials, black products, things that we utilize. Because we have good products that we're using. Because for the last 27 years, we've been big up in McDonald's, okay, which isn't a black organization, okay, and any airline out there that's been out there. And any soft drink that they're endorsing that's been out there, most of these corporations and companies that are there that are sponsors, are not African American. So I really would like to see Essence, Revlon, you know, any black products out there. I would like to see more of those companies when I open up the WNBA page and I see who all of their affiliates are. And that's just my shout out. And you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind. Adrian Goodson, got my guy Don Dada. We winding down, just chopping it up about this week's top performances. You know, great conversation, Dom. The league is definitely growing, and I'm very, very proud of it. I'm equally as proud to say that I was a part of it. And even more proud, you know, when I get the preferential special treatment that I get when we go out there to Las Vegas Aces and Mark Davis and, you know, treating us like the queens that we are. I hope that catches fire, and all the rest of the teams follow suit. Recognize your players from top to bottom, okay, in numbers. Each team doing that. And I see a couple of teams that are doing that other than us. Okay. I know New York had a Hall of Fame, which I'm hoping that the Aces start, where they start enshrining people, because not everybody's going to get paid attention to by the WNBA like we deserve to be paid attention to. So if we could get that respect from our own organizations, that would be great. And that's why I think it would be awesome for people to attach themselves to that and start doing those different things as well. And, you know, these owners, you know, start stepping it up and doing the right thing and, you know, not always having to, you know, have bad press about it for you to do something about it, or having somebody do something to embarrass the organization for you to do something about it, or for you to hear that one of your WNBA former players is out here on a homeless tip, and we're going to do another show in regards to that. You know, there's a lot of things that need to be done. You know, I'm always going to speak to those issues, what I think the WNBA still continues to need to do, and especially be a voice for the former players, because there's a lot of things they need to do. They need to take care of us in major ways. And so, Dom, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to give you the opportunity to talk about something new that may be coming up for you that you tell everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we have the launch of leadlaunch.com. I'm going to give you guys some more information regarding that here in the future. We have a deadline here of, you know, within the next 30 days to launch the site. That's going to be something super important to the sports world. It's going to change the sports culture. You know, we're going to shake some things up in the front offices with leadlaunch.com. More details to come soon, and fantastic message regarding, you know, black businesses and sponsorships and partnerships. You know, Diddy, give the WNBA a call. You got Revolt. You're trying to get that out there. That would be a great partnership. There's so many things that could be done, you know, within that realm. And there are a ton of former WNBA players that have businesses. There should be partnerships all over the place. One I can name right off the top of my head, the Fresh Factor, is a great smoothie juice company that's based out of Houston, Texas, by former WNBA champion Janelle Burst with the Seattle Storm. You know, there should be a partnership between the Storm and, you know, Mrs. Burst regarding her, you know, Fresh Factor smoothie company. There are so many partnerships that can be had. They have to look outside of, you know, your typical partnerships with AT&T, McDonald's, what's the cable company, Comcast, you know, etc., Universal. You know, look at those smaller partnerships. It can really grow not only your brand on a national scale, but it's also going to help the league grow. That little smaller company is going to do a whole lot more marketing-wise than, you know, you go with McDonald's and they throw you a few million dollars. It's not really doing too much for the league. Great message, Goody.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, support streaming networks, you know what I mean? Like, people that could get things out there for you, and I can go on and on. I could go on and on and on, but it might cost them a little something for me to keep on doing that. So all of the people out there, you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind, go follow me, AGoody15 on Insta, and look out for a streaming live from millions.co. It's going to be amazing, fam. In the meantime, download a WNBA State of Mind on Spotify, iHeart, Google Podcasts, Apple Pod. Okay? Follow me over there as well. Sammy Sosa. Peace out.